Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, welcome to the Promised Land, a show about Manchester United. I'm part of the 90 Min Podcast Network.
Scott, you'd have to pretend.
I'm still getting my breath back after that. Wow. Wow. I tell you what, Rob, that was that'll be remembered for that, like, in 20 years.
Forever.
Forever. In 20 years, when you go back and you see a video of that, those moments in that game, how crazy it was. I mean, I saw a tweet from some account that I quote tweeted, even if United win this game, they're just tactically flawed. It'll mean nothing. Shut up, honestly. Hi, Rob.
Yeah, I'm sure Liverpool fans are thinking that today. Oh, that Manchester United, they're very tactically flawed today, aren't they? Well, they were a bit tactically flawed as well, weren't they?
They were indeed. We're here. Man United have beaten Liverpool 4-3 after extra time in the FA Cup. They play Coventry City in the FA Cup semi-final at Wembley.
Mark Robbins.
Yes, very much so. Amad Diallo picking up that role, potentially. Will he go on to be commentary manager in 40 years' time? We will wait and see. Who knows? But yeah, we're back to do a live reaction to that, whatever that was. Rob, you haven't really talked yet. Go on.
Oh, I haven't talked yet. I'm going to do a lot of talking, aren't I? It's a strange one, isn't it? Because you go through the whole range of emotions in a game like this. Because it's so mad from starting the game and getting the lead and then throwing the lead away and then equalizing just before the end of the match and then extra time and all of that, and you somehow win it. And, you know, quite often asked, Scott, why do we do this? Why do we do this whole football arc? Because of this. This is why we do it. And these are the memories you create, you know, with your kids and with family and whatnot through your life with friends. And these build up, like we just said there at the top of the show, how long will this will be remembered? Until the day we die, beating Liverpool 4-3, we will remember this forever, because this is what these games
It was
are
one
about.
Of those. It was one of those for me. It really was.
Yeah. And Liverpool fans will remember beating us 5-0 at Old Trafford 5-1, or them like thrashing us by 7 at Anfield. And they will remember those games for the same reasons, that this dysfunctional Man United team with no tactics and no purpose half the time went and played like they wanted it and won 4-3 against a team that wants to win the Premier League. So it's just wild. It's a wild game of football. Football is wild in itself. But just looking at how United turned the screw on that and actually won the game, Scott, it's just madness, isn't it? Like, even Marcus getting his goal, but like missing those two big chances either side. Do you know what I mean? And it's like,
he was offside for both of them, I think.
He was. Thank God. He was.
I'm sure he will be glad that that's the case.
Absolutely. But he took that opportunity there. Scott rolls it through and he takes it beautifully. It's as good a finish as you'll see. So you've got, this game had everything. It had the best of everything and the worst of everything. And it's so, it's impossible to break it down. That's not what we're going to try and do today. Like, we're going to just talk about the game, obviously, with a little bit of a salient mindset as well, and, you know, a bit of realism. But at the same time, don't get too high, don't get too low. Everyone knows that catchphrase here on this show. But you can get high when you win 4-3 in that manner. It's an absolutely amazing moment, Scott. And to be able to beat this Liverpool team like that, the final minute of the game with a young kid running through from his own goal, 70, 80 yards, with getting the ball from another young kid, sliding him in, putting it in the bottom corner. Amazing.
Just I tell you what, Garnacho's engine. Good grief.
And he was dead by the time that happened. Like, did you see, like, 10 minutes before, he was like, but that's what you've got to do, isn't it? When you're playing football, 120 minutes of football, you have got to keep going. There is no need to say, oh, I need a rest, because you're going to get a rest afterwards. Don't worry. You know, keep running if you can. And, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that today, about some of United's fatigue factors and some of that in this game, how it influenced the match. But overall, Scott, you know, you can't say, do these boys want it or not? Of course they want it. It's just... they've got to find a way of winning matches a little bit more easier than how they did it today. But that's what the FA Cup is all about.
Right. Okay. This is a live reaction. We'll release this as an audio podcast later on Apple, Spotify, etc. as well. If you're catching up, I'm just going to... So, yeah, get your comments in as we go. I'm just going to pick some out as we go. Cyber Recluse says, it was my birthday today. Fantastic gift. Happy birthday to you. And that was an all-time epic. That was. It really was. Christopher Walking says, Amad showing his metal today. When the lights were brightest, he rose up and shone. He really did. Even winning the ball on the edge of the box from Harvey Elliott. You know, I said, I shouted because I completely lost my head today. Get it. Like, I was doing that all day. And he got his studs in there, or got his foot in there. And like you say, Garnacho and him, was it Conor Bradley they were running at?
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't have come at a more perfect time. And he's been asking for chances for a long time, hasn't he, this kid? And now he can't play United's next game because he got sent off.
He deserves a holiday. Have a day off.
He does. United draw Coventry in the next round. Fantastic. Mm. Bernard says... still cannot believe the result. One of our best games of the season. Kingy says, looking forward to Rob's analysis of Bruno, the centre-back. Maybe we'll get to that.
We'll talk a little bit with Bruno today, definitely.
Yeah. There's a lot of comments, guys. I don't know if I can get through all of them. Mason Mount is alive, says Elite Baller. He's missing the Brentford game. Yes, he is, Zakir.
He's our lucky charm. Mason Mount came on a pitch.
Yes. We might have Lisandro Martinez back for the next game as well. Fantastic news. Great day all round. It wasn't... there was a period after about 30 minutes until about the end of the game where I think everything was all awful. But, you know, that was what we did see today. And regardless of what you think of some of the players, regardless of what you think of the tactics, this kind of thing, they played for that today and they really wanted it. And I think the leveler was that Liverpool eventually ran out of energy as well, and that made it effectively an even game. Mm. They ran out of energy. They started making some poor decisions. They couldn't track as much as they were previously. We'll get into it. We'll break it down. But subscribe. If you're new here, we've got over 100 watching live. Subscribe if you haven't already, wherever you get your podcast to The Promised Land. We're on Apple and Spotify and also on YouTube as well. So if you're watching us on YouTube currently, please hit that subscribe button, like the video, share the video, tell your friends, etc., etc. Leave a comment as well. Hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And Rob and I are also on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok, at @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and at @TPLMUFC on X. And the thing that we try and do usually is be a little bit more measured, less emotional, not viral. I mean, is that the way to put it? Not over the top. But I tell you
not
what.
Not overly clickbaity.
Yeah.
That's the way to put
it. That's the kind of way to put it. A little bit more measured, not too high, not too low. Today, they got me today. They really did.
They got me too. And, you know, it's hard doing these shows. Like, I mean, I've done a million post-match shows over the years and with the masterclass and whatnot. And you don't come in here to kind of explain a lot of that, but there's so much detail. Like, we could do a four-hour in-detail show about a 90-minute football match and about what Manchester United are and what they could be, Scott. Like, again, you see today that there is heart somewhere in this football club. It is there. It's just how do you get it out? It's how do you make sure it's there all the time? And even in this match, you've got 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You're the best team on the football pitch by a long way. Yeah, first 30 minutes. And then you just give a couple of goals away. And it's like, oh, what are you doing? You know, so that feels such a long time ago now.
Rob, have they ever recovered from that? Like, have they ever, we've criticized them lots for shipping goals in quick succession, right? Have they ever recovered in the manner they did today and won off the back of that?
Well, not under you this can manager. Remember. Not under this manager. Definitely not. Like, I think I don't want to completely directly compare it, but I'm going to make the comparison, especially as we've got Coventry the next round and it's Mark Robins. Yeah. Is that all those many years ago, we have spoken about that moment at Nottingham Forest where Fergie got his 1-0 win. It wasn't like this. It was a terrible game. It was very wet, boring game of football. You win 1-0. But to me and to young Rob, I still remember that moment as being pivotal, that life changed that day. Now, I'm not saying that's how this is, but this is how it could be, because you won this game 4-3. And I think if you get beaten, Scott, and say you really lose this game at one point when you're hemorrhaging, when the blood's flowing and it's nasty and you've got your chin out and Liverpool are just swinging away and you're thinking this could be anything at this moment. They just hung in, didn't they? They hung in. And even the substitutes were like, a bit like damp squib, nothing there, like thinking, oh, well, you really haven't got a lot of choice. You're going to bring on some kids. They've got to do a little bit more running. Like you just said, there, Bruno Fernandes playing as like the centre-back for the last X amount of the game because he was injured. Yeah, and Marcus, who again, I think you could be highly critical of Marcus Rashford today besides his goal. Some of his work today really was bad. But there's no need for that at this moment of time because obviously we're feeling all so high about what the actual result was and who you just beat. And you can't discount that either, is that Jurgen Klopp will never play another FA Cup game again because of this. And it means something. It does. And people will remember it. And that's just what it is. Now, Liverpool might go on and win the league. They might not care at the end of the day, Scott. But for a team like Man United that suffered, I think, in the last year and longer, it does mean something because these small glories are actually bigger than they are. And we will remember them as magic moments like we have over many, many years gone by.
Ethan says, up there with the PSG match for post-Fergie moments. I think that's fantastic shout, that one.
Definitely up there. That's why I said it's for this manager. Because I think Ole had a few.
Yeah. I was just trying to think now. Maybe. No, I don't think anything's come close to me since that. For me.
Certainly United-Liverpool as well. Like, Wan Mata's overhead kick. I remember Anfield was like a moment. But you know, we won that game. I had a power cut that day. It was terrible. And it went just after that. And then I had to watch a blank screen for an hour or something. But you've got that game. And do you know what I also remember as well? Again, being old, 1987, I think it was. We were 2-1 down at home to Liverpool. John Barnes had just scored. I think Peter Beardsley scored. And we scored two goals in the last 10 minutes. Russell Beardsmore scored the third goal. Russell Beardsmore is a name. And we beat them 3-2 that day. And that was when Liverpool were the gods of the world and Manchester United were nobodies. So there are these moments that go back over time, but I do think for Erik ten Hag, he needed this, Scott. Like, my God, he needed this.
Oh, absolutely.
If you lost this game in, say, before extra time or even in extra time, say you lose it 3-2 after extra time, there would be a big inquest today or tomorrow, I should say, about what went wrong. And there are still a lot of things really not great tactically, Scott, today. Some of the tactics are just, they're kind of mad. United playing like with one centre-back and like nine forwards. It's like, what are you doing? But you had to do that in the end, didn't you? In the last 10 minutes, when you get it back to 3-3, credit to United, they went for it. And you said that breakaway and you got two young lads running towards that goal. Just something that will be remembered for forevermore by United fans.
Strongman Steve, hello again, says, to beat Liverpool over 2 hours of football is a massive effort. I honestly wasn't expecting that. Fair play to them today.
Yeah.
Bailey says, honestly, this match gives me more hope about the manager than anything in the past. This team has a long way to go, but the building blocks are there. Now it's time to do it again for the rest of the season. So
okay, that's why I make the Mark Robins comparison to 1990, because that was the same thing of winning that FA Cup changed the view on Fergie. Like, people thought Fergie was regressive and boring and dour and rubbish and not good enough for Man United. He wins that FA Cup and it does change everything, like in a matter of a year. Now, you'd want United to springboard off this, wouldn't you, Scott? You know, 4-3 against Liverpool, against the Scousers, amazing victory. And now it's up to them to springboard. So it's up to them to take this, bottle it, and move it on and actually show that they want this. Because you still can ask questions about some of the commitment, but I just think, like, I don't know what you think, Scott. Like, they're having to run so much. Like, I'm knackered watching them. You know what I mean? First half an hour, I'm not surprised that they're fatigued and that's affecting performances. So Eric's got a big chance here. He's got a big chance to kind of turn some of the narrative here, because the narrative is still not fantastic.
I don't think the high press, low line is a thing that we're going to be seeing long term. I don't think it is. And obviously there's been an image today of some
guy. I posted it. Yeah.
Was it Szoboszlai, was it? Or
breaking through midfield.
That was the time, because that press was awful. And I haven't tweeted about it, but that was the moment the energy dropped. The press was terrible. It was terrible. Like,
it was a one-man midfield. Kobbie Manu. That was it.
They walk through it and then we're back on the back four. And you're watching the back four. All they can do in that situation is actually go backwards. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
But why didn't that happen in the first 30 minutes?
I don't know. And this is why, like, as I said, if this was a normal game of football and we were talking about this in a normal sense, it would be different. Because it's just odd still to me that you go 1-0 up, you control the game for 30 minutes, you're the better team for 30 minutes. And you still just go, well, we're just going to carry on doing this. It's like, I don't know a serious team that does that. I really don't. You control games by looking at tempo. And it was weird being 2-1 down and feeling negative at halftime. Because for the first chunk, you've done well. But I was furious at halftime, Scott. I was like, this is just the same tactics all the time. Just give the midfield away and people kind of doing this little jog. The goal, Marcus Rashford for the first goal, you know, he just lets the player run through him and they're in your box and you're like, oh, they might score now. Oh, they have. Bruno for the second goal. Oh, I get a touch. I'm going to fall over, roll over. They're in your box again. It's a goal. You're like, see this every week. It's the same stuff every week. I don't get it. What? When are they going to realise to not do this stuff? So I think some of it is personnel. Scott, I think you've said that before. I think some of it is tactics. There's this big mix of stuff still happening, but second half and also in extra time, they wanted it and they went out there and they went and traded blows with this Liverpool team. And as you said, Liverpool, I think they ran out of gas right at the very end. You could just see, even with their substitutes, I think United with the third goal, when it went to 3-3, it like sucked the soul out of Liverpool. 3-3 sucked the soul out of them, and Liverpool were like, ooh, and they tried to obviously win the game at the end, but United get that counter attack from the edge of your own box. That's classic, isn't it? 70-yard sprint to goal. And putting it in the bottom corner, Scott. He could only put it there to score. It wasn't going in anywhere else, was it? It was a really, really good finish.
Right. Let's see.
Get your comments in, everyone. There's lots of comments here.
There's loads of comments. Phil C, let's not kid ourselves. If Liverpool took any of their huge chances when we were wide open, we'd been well beaten. We weren't great. Just a feel-good win, which we must use to build. United had loads of chances as well, mind. They should have been 2-0 up. That McTominay chance. Both teams had a lot of chances today. And obviously, Liverpool had their chance to win. United had their chances to win. And it kind of went back and forth, didn't it? It was a proper slugfest. Like,
totally. It's like a basketball game.
It was basketball, wasn't it? It was an NBA game. Yeah. But it was fun. Good God, was it fun. Like, I thought it was... Obviously, there were times in the middle of the game where you kind of thought, oh, this is just going the way that it's always gone.
Not good for my dicky heart, Scott. I still do like a bit more control, but in these games, you take it, don't you? Because you're already on the floor because you think you've lost. That's the magic here. And again, another comparison I will make is, again, felt a little bit like that night in Barcelona against Bayern Munich, where you've been pummeled for most of the game and you're losing 1-0, but you're still just in it somehow. And I felt that today. Again, I thought, you're somehow at 2-1, you're losing, but you're still in it somehow because it's a cup game. Get it to extra time. Can you then go the next mile? They did all of that. It was fun, Scott. Like, in hindsight, we can say it's fun, but I think that comment's pretty spot on as well, because even though United have had lots of chances, they have had that, Scott, in the weeks gone by. They've had loads of chances, and we kind of go, oh, United have had 8 chances today, but they're giving away another 8. you know, and Everton come last week and get 22 shots. It shouldn't happen, really shouldn't still. And this is what, you know, the Rubik's Cube that Erik ten Hag has to solve. I think to stay in this job still is to kind of prove to Ineos, you saw today, Jay Brailsford was there with, you know, with bells and whistles on. He's got to prove that this team could be tactically better than it was today, because you're not going to beat everyone 4-4 every week. You're just not. This is a special moment, a cup match, and it will be remembered forever.
Michael says, I'm sorry, but some games demand no negativity. Yeah, Rob.
I'm not being negative. No. I'm totally not.
Talking about the midfield. I'm trying to give some context to it. I think it's all part of a wider... I think they're teething problems, personally. I've said it for a long time. I think they're teething problems. I think it's down to personnel. Robbie says, lads, I hope the podcast's going well, because you're by far the best United content creators out there. I've been listening since the start. And absolute credit to you both on how good your content is. Thank you very much, Robbie.
You've got a really good name there, Robbie, as well. Great name.
happy St. Patrick's Day to Maria. What a great St. Patrick's Day you are seeing in the chat. Well, guys, there's so many comments, honestly. But shout out Harry Maguire as well. Phil has given him a shout out. But right, we're just winging it. We're winging this, right? This is what I generally do. There's no agenda. We're just going to talk about the game itself, and I don't want to like tread on old ground. Maybe this. Do you want to go chronologically? Do you want to talk about players? What do you
minute
want
by
do?
Minute? Yeah, we can do. I think chronologically is the best way to approach this, because
we've done half of it already.
Yeah, that 2 hours of life felt like 8 hours to me. Really, really did. There's so many conflicting emotions. But yeah, we'll go early, Scott. What did you think at the start of the game?
Well, Erik ten Hag in his post-match called it the best 15 minutes, or the best half an hour of our season, or the best period of our season. And I think it was. What I think happened was they came in with drive and intensity and desire, and it was better than Liverpool's in the early stages. Yeah. And that's why they created as much as they created. That's why they took the lead. Obviously, they gave their own chances up as well, but that is why United were the better period for the first 30 minutes. Better team for the first 30 minutes. Mm. Got the goal, could have probably got another one. But what I think happened was they blew out. Mm. And usually I'll criticize players for not tracking back and having commitment issues with commitment and stuff like that. But I've seen, like, to me, I just think, yeah, they do run a lot, but, you know, they should be fitter than they are. I just think that's the thing. I don't think United are as fit as other teams, and that is why they gas out. Remember when Ralph Rangnick came in? This is a comparison that I was thinking of in my head. The first 30 minutes against Crystal Palace was cohesive. It was good in his first game, and we never seen it ever again. We never saw it again. A lot of the same players play.
Yeah,
you know, and I think, well, Ten Hag's getting criticised now because Casemiro's pulled up with an injury, like he's working them too hard in training, this kind of thing. But to be honest, I think, and I said it a few weeks ago, I feel like if you stick with it and you get the right personnel in, players who are a bit less prone to injury, I feel like these are teething problems. And this is why I've been defensive of Ten Hag for a while. I feel like the fall off in intensity is what led to that thing that'll get memed, that has already got memed, that massive chasm of space in the midfield. Mm. It's your defense can push up, or your press works, or they all press together and it doesn't happen, you know. But you have a case where you've got Rafa Varane and bloody Victor Lindelof, who are not really front foot defenders like Martinez. Their first instinct is to go backwards. So, you know, I think Ten Hag needed that win today. He needed it, right? If he'd have lost that game, he probably wouldn't have ever got a chance to see it through. And yeah. That was the summary of the first 30 minutes for me. Anyway,
I think, again, this is I'm not trying to create a bit of heat between me and Scott here or anything like that. But I think, again, teething problems is a polite way of putting a lot of this, because I mean,
you know what I'm saying with teething problems.
I know where you're coming from, and you're coming also from a sympathetic view of Ten Hag and all of this as well. I'm not saying that I'm not sympathetic. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I think when I look at a lot of these tactics every single week, I am as confused as the players look half the time. So, like, even today, you're right. First 30 minutes, lots of desire, really good systematic control, like, of what Liverpool were trying to do. You were doing the right things. You were running in the right areas. And I think United got to about 35 minutes, around that 40 minutes, and they gassed, as you said. And I can't believe that still in 2024, that when you look at how teams perform behind the scenes in their training grounds with all the sports science there, that you have a massive, like, disparaging difference between squad to squad to squad. Because when you compare the numbers, most squads are as fit as each other across the board. Like, as you get to it, some squads are more athletic. That's a thing. You know, bigger players, faster players, that all matters. I cannot believe that Erik ten Hag, who is a disciplinarian, isn't getting his team fit. I don't believe that. I can't believe that he's going in and going, you boys are not running. I want to make you run more. Now, you said about Casemiro there. That was broken, obviously, today. Certain journalists said, oh, you know, well, Casemiro's been asked to do too much running, so he's got injured. I don't believe that either. I just think Casemiro can't do what you want him to do. Overall, so it doesn't matter what
point, though. That's my yeah. point, though. I think there's too many of those players.
So there's too many of those players, and that's, I think you can look at that individually as you go along. We still have got to realise that a lot of this squad have been bought by Erik ten Hag, and yet there is existing players that also have been here a while. But every manager is tasked to do the same thing, Scott, and that is that you have got to find tactics to blend it all to make it work. And I look at United, and I think this is my biggest criticism of Erik, and this is not to try and make the show negative or anything like that. It's just that if you want to play this kind of mad version of counter-press, yeah, you're going to run into Fulhams and they'll beat you. Yeah, and you'll give 22 chances away to Everton. And you'll get a day like today, Scott, where it
works. Not chances, they're shots, Rob.
Shots on goal, what, against us you're talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
They're not chances, they're shots.
They're shots, but they're still, you're giving chances away, aren't you? That's the whole thing. It's like shots on goal, you know, it's a chance for them to score. So you're giving these shots away and you have to find ways to stop it. And yes, if you go by better players, probably stop a lot of them. It's the truth. Yeah, it's fine. But there will be a tactical element here where, as we say, Dan Ashworth, who we'll talk about more of in the weeks to come, will be looking at some of the technical aspects of this, Scott, and he won't like a lot of it. He'll be like, okay, it's cool, we won 4-3. But what are you lot doing in some of the press? You cannot leave a midfield 80 yards open. You can't box to box. We can joke about it because we won. But if you'd lost this game, we wouldn't be joking about it. So I think the thing is that we don't need to reflect too heavily on that today, like as fans or as journalists or anything like that, because it's a great day and United have won. But only till the next game, because we'll probably see a lot of it again, you see, won't we? And you need to kind of deal and cope with it. I think for the first 30 minutes, Scott, I agree. Probably the best we've played this season really was in terms of control. And I'd love to see United stretch those 30-minute periods out to an hour and then maybe even longer. We haven't seen that this year. Nothing like that. Maybe the answer is to play some more kids in there. Like, you know, two or three of your kids did well today. I thought Cobby was really good again in the midfield. He's kind of on his own dribbling through. Did you see for one of those opportunities where he kind of beats four players and gets you into the box?
Jordan Henderson of Ajax has been called up ahead of Cobby Mainoo to the England squad.
Well, that's on Gareth, isn't it? So that's on Mr. Southgate. So it is what it is.
I think I saw Jamie Carragher did a. It was either Jamie Carragher or Jamie Redknapp or somebody did a column of England need a number six who can pass the ball and dribble.
And got one.
But they don't.
And the funny
one.
Thing today was Cobby was playing as the six. Like Cobby was the six, and he was in the eight and the ten, and he was in the box and he was in the other box. And you're like, this boy's having to do so much. And being honest, Scott, it's too much. Like an 18-year-old shouldn't be being asked to do all of this. But you know, it's midfield, like the actual combination between Manu, Bruno, and McTominay, by and large, didn't work. Like you win the game later on because you just go rogue and it's just like, let's attack. Let's go proper Man United, attack, attack, attack. And let's see what happens. Let's see if we can win the game. And you do. And it's an amazing moment. I don't know. They go on the training ground, Scott, in a couple of days' time and go, all right, let's just take some of this and bottle it and use it for the next game because it's so wild. Bruno Fernandes is like your quarterback at the back there on his own. And the ball is being sprayed long and you got Harry Maguire up top. Like jumping up and trying to nod the ball down to people, and you're like, this is really desperate. I read a few journalists right there and saying it's just chaos. That's the problem, is that chaos can win you a game of football, but most weeks it might lose you them. So I don't think it's teething problem, Scott. I'm not going to use that word. I think it's too polite. I think it needs to be more acute. And I think this manager needs to find a way between now and the end of the season to keep his job, to have tactics that work, even though I know he's trying to play this kind of hell or high water style of football, which is exciting when it works. But unfortunately, this season, it's not worked as many times as it's failed.
How many games have United lost this year?
16 in all competitions.
No, this since the turn of the year.
Oh, no, one, I think. Two. One or two?
Two,
I think it is.
Yeah, two out of about
Fulham
12.
And what's the other one?
City. Fulham.
City. Yeah, so City's acceptable, isn't it? Like, we're nowhere near as good as them. So, yeah, since Christmas.
So he's winning. My point is he's winning.
I think what it is that he's had his players coming back, so that does matter. Like when you, with the injuries, and it's still, he's still coping without his first choice centre backs, his first choice left back. Hoyland comes back today. I think Hoyland.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like ran the channel better in terms of, you know, making it work. Anthony's kind of been out of the picture and comes back in today and gives you a tiny little bit of value, especially with his goal. Though I don't think he actually played great, but he did his job. So well done there, Anthony. But so as you get players coming back, Mason Mount's now coming back. Maybe we will see some development. Maybe then we will go, oh, at the end of the season, this was just an injury thing. It was the injuries that made the difference. But I just think some of the tactics, Scott, are still a little bit brittle. Like, I don't really know the players understand them, because they quite often switch off in games. And you just kind of go, well, I don't believe they don't care. It's just, I just don't know. So from 30 minutes to 45 felt totally different from 0 to 30 today. Don't you agree? Like, first 30.
Oh, no, they did. But I think they were great. Yeah, no, I completely get it. Like, I feel like they are being asked to run a little bit more than, well, a lot more than they're capable of. Yeah. And I think the fact that they ran so hard in the first 30 minutes or so is probably what ended up with Liverpool being the better team from about 30 to 85, really, or 30 to 90 even, because when Anthony scored, it was, 88 minutes-ish or whatever it was, and United weren't really on top then. It was just more swinging a punch, wasn't it? But
yeah,
United did get back. The playing field was leveled during extra time, I think. When Harvey Elliott scored, and they scored two deflected goals as well. When Harvey Elliott scored, I think that was just Liverpool weren't particularly better. United weren't particularly better at that point. It was just, two teams going for it. And it just so happened that Elliott had a lot of space, probably because everybody was knackered on the pitch.
Totally.
And there was a deflection. I'm not going to hang players out to dry for that, to be honest. I mean,
no, not in extra time as well. Like, extra time, yeah, it's hard to go from minute 90 to 120 and still show like that level of desire, like where you've got to close people down. And I think that's the only time when it is, you can almost say, yeah, that is okay. It's not okay from minute 30 to 45, because footballers should be able to run in those moments. They should still. But it's, I think they're being asked to play such an aggressive style of football, Scott, and then a high tempo style of football, that they have these moments where they clock off, and it definitely hurts United. Like, that's what the opponents look at that and make hay in those moments against United. I think Fulham was a really good example of that game, where Fulham just kind of turned the screw on us out of nothing.
Smashed Tottenham yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, Fulham. Tottenham, the best team in the world.
Tottenham.
I thought of you when I saw that result. I thought, oh, Scott, you know, Ange, Spurs. but it shows, doesn't it? Because I think Spurs are a little bit like United, but maybe further developed in their attacking mindset. Is that Spurs always score goals, but in that game they didn't, did they? And guess what? You got hammered because you're not good enough on those moments with the ball. So, I think extra time was a bit of an anomaly, really. It was just going to be who gets a knockout punch. And somehow United really I didn't feel good in those final moments, but I think when it went back to 3-3, I was like, you've got a chance again. You've really got a chance. If you get that one chance, bit of luck, breakaway luck. That's where it was. I see there's a comment there saying, oh, Rob being always being negative about Erik ten Hag. I'm really not. I'm just trying to actually add some balance to some of the tactics and the way maybe his bosses will be looking at it. Because as good as we feel tonight, there will still be other conversations about, you know, what happened today and what's been going on for the last few weeks. So I'm just trying to inject some of that into the conversation without it being overly serious.
My new football club says, great pod this. Always look forward to new episodes. Cheers.
Thank you
very much. Nini says, guys, hit the like button. I actually haven't said that yet. Please do that. Please do that because we would like the channel to grow and like more people to watch it to try and bring some relative calmness to when Man United lose games or in this case win matches. It's a little bit more difficult to do that today, but you know, try not to go over the top too much. Try and have a little bit more of a measured take on what's happening on in the United sphere, this kind of thing. So yeah, please like the stream if you haven't done that already, and you can subscribe to the channel as well. We'll be going probably for another 20 minutes or so, I would think. Right. Okay. Let's not talk about too much the whole minute 30 to minute 86 or whatever it was.
No.
Let's focus on the positives. We can talk about players in a second, but I think let's focus on the attitude. Because that was, I did not think United had it in them. I really didn't. I said at one point I tweeted dead and buried because I thought they were. I thought they'd give up another goal because that's what they tend to do in those situations. After they ship two goals in quick succession against a team like Liverpool. They lost 7-0 last season at Anfield, for God's sake. Like 7-0. What did anything change today? What was different? Why did that happen?
I don't think anything specifically changed because, again, we accuse players, don't we, of being not caring, not wanting it, don't want to play for the badge. We say all that kind of cliche stuff a fair bit when we kind of feel like that, when we see poor performances. I think the difference was in this game, Scott, is that it's sometimes about momentum and the goals and where the goal comes from in that moment. Because let's be honest, when Anthony gets that goal and makes it 2-2, like, did you see it coming? I didn't. I didn't feel it coming. It wasn't like, yeah, we're turning the screw in, we're pushing and pushing. That ball breaks in the box. And credit to Anthony, on his wrong foot, he has got a right foot there. You see it. He spins.
Haven't both his goals been right foot goals this season?
Yeah, this season. And you know, it shows he can actually, when he's in the middle of the goal there, when he's forced to use his right foot.
He's one of the top scorers in the FA Cup. He's got two.
There you go. And I think that's it. That means his goal involvement this year for Man United in the last season has been two, I think. So, or three maybe now overall. So a good moment for him as well, Scott, because I think when you talk about individuals, it's good for him that he's got that goal in that moment. He can share in all this because I think for him, he's a confidence player. And I think his confidence has just ebbed away over time. And that's why we've not seen anything resembling performances. But I think the player then, we spoke about him at the top of the show. Also, I spoke about Cobby, is that I think Garnacho is like both Garnacho, Hoyland and Cobby. Their maturity levels, I think, are kind of what drag United along quite often. Now, they're still young lads, and we shouldn't think of it like that. But when you're still looking at the senior players who have maybe not got that maturity, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I can't understand why people in their mid-20s or late 20s, you look at these 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and there's something about them. I don't know what it is. And I think like Garnacho, as you said, still running in that last minute of the game. That's something up here, something elite mentality there to be able to do that. And I think we've seen that from these boys a lot. Even in games where United have lost, these boys have pushed themselves to the limit. We said, didn't we, as well the other week, oh, let's hope they don't get ruined by the Man United bug, you know, because that happens to everyone at Man United. I don't think it will. I think these boys are different. I think they're cut from a different cloth. I think they're just like, we want to be the best and we've come through youth systems and we've been taught to be like this. And this is what we're going to do. Whether Giza next to me is doing it, I'm going to play my game. And I think you see Cobbie do that in midfield all the time today. He ran that midfield on his own, Scott. It was him versus Liverpool in some phases of play. And it's too much for him. But you can see the mentality. He's like, I'm doing my job. That's what I'm here for. So that was, I think, the difference, is that you've got these young players who are coming in. Ahmad, in the last, you know, at the end of the game, you've got to have something up here to do that. You can't just do it. It's not luck. You have to have something in your brain where you see the picture. And I think Ahmed is that kind of player. He sees what he wants to do. And in that moment, he just said, I don't know if you saw the interview, but he said, you know, when I got the ball, my first instinct was to give it back to Garnacho. He was like, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give it back to him. He said, but when it opened up, when I went to my left, he said, I just knew how to shoot. I knew how to put it away. And he did. And that's it. And that's forevermore there for you, Ahmed. That's remembered forevermore. So that's, I think, how you build this squad, Scott. Is you got to weed out all the little mentalities that don't work, whether they're on a lot of money or, you know, you said about Casemiro there. Maybe it's time to move a few on and you start bringing players in. And for Erik ten Hag, I know that's what he wants. We know that's what he wants. It's just that whether he can get that far down the line now by making sure United's results kind of hold together now in the next few months. You're on a mute. Mute. You're still on mute. Scott's still on mute. I don't know what's going on there. It looks like I'm going to have to talk because he's muted his microphone. It's broken. So, I don't know. What else should I talk about? All right, go and it's the Rob show then suddenly now. So,
am I back?
You're back. Yes, Scott.
What the hell's happened? I just turned my microphone off on accident.
I know, you did. Yeah, you turned it off right. And went to sleep, anyway. I think.
I wanted to make a point and I was going to say, the sound isn't muted on my screen. It's on my bloody microphone. That's anyway. Cool. And I must have touched
it's it live. Live
touched the mute button on accident. The contracts. So honestly, I've been talking about this for so long. How can you give players contracts that are so far beyond your status as a club? I know United are one of the biggest clubs in the world, but you're literally the sixth best team in the league currently.
Yeah.
At best, you know,
and maybe cosplaying at your bigger team. You're kind of like going...
Maybe you can climb the table. Mm. But there's common themes with... Well, Ahmad's not on huge money, but common themes with the contracts that they've put on Hoyland, Garnacho and Cobbie. They're not earning money that is way, way beyond their status.
No.
Like some
it's not about money at that moment.
And it's not. No. Whereas some players in there... I've seen United in the past, and I don't want to like name names here, but if you're gonna get 250 a week, 300 grand a week,
name names,
you're
Scott.
Set.
Name names, Scott.
I'm not gonna name names. I can't think of specifics at the moment. But what incentive do you have? Like these kids want to prove themselves.
Yeah,
and that means that Garnacho will run himself into the ground, like face first on the floor.
Yeah,
because he wants. It, the most important thing to him is being a good footballer and producing moments. Whereas that's
proving himself.
If you could sum up how bad United have been in the last 10 years and the reasons why, it's probably because they've been spending too much money and giving bad contracts out. And you can't shift these players a lot of the time.
Totally. And like we said about Garnacho only a couple of weeks ago. And again, when we spoke actually in the last show about the thing I said about Garnacho and Ronaldo and a position and what they play and what they do. One thing is absolutely sure with Garnacho is when he said the other day when he was in the game, he helped United win the game. He was like, we want to be in the Champions League next year. And that might not be all of them, but it's certainly that core, those young players, they want to be there. They want to prove themselves. Garnacho wants to be in the Champions League next year. So he's going to put everything out there. And do you know what? He might make mistakes, Scott. He might not have great games every week, but he gives it. And that's all I'm really concerned about, especially when you're a team like Man United where the world is changing. Like we've got new part owners. We've got a manager who's only been at the club like 18 months. Things are still changing. So while that's the case, Scott, they've got to work. Yeah, these lads have got to work. And that is still a problem. I still think that, you know, today some of the pressing was good and then the pressing disappeared and you're like, oh. And I think that's something, and that's tactical. I think you can change some of the tactics to make that work. But this is, I think, the key now is to get into next season is that's what the transfer window has to be about next summer is to be able to bring in hungry players. Because I just think we've had a a period here of many years of overinflated players with overinflated egos who believe that they are better than they show every week. It's as simple as that. You know, it's as simple as that, is that we've got players, I think, who have got ceilings, but quite often they just think they're better, and then they go up against a team and they get a woe-beed in the last moment against Fulham, you know, something like that. It shouldn't happen. So there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of change to come. But yeah, and there's other players, Scott, who I think have proved themselves. Like you mentioned Harry Maguire. You know, Harry Maguire looks like someone's been feeding him something. I don't know. Because he the motivation has gone through the roof from looking very, like, hesitant last season. He's come back into the team this year after being told he's not wanted anymore. Like, literally told, we want you to leave. And he's possessed. You can see, is he playing at a higher standard and holding himself to a higher standard? Guess what, Scott? A lot of those boys need to do that. A lot of the players out there need to hold themselves to a higher standard than they do. And then maybe their manager won't get sacked. You know, this kind of comes down to a lot of basic stuff at the end of the day.
Harry Maguire, just, you know, an example of how to react to
totally
not being in a manager's plans, and how to that is attitude that, you know, how much he's been mocked over the past few years, and disgusting, to have to deal with that, to deal with everything that happened with him when he was on holiday as well, having to, you know, being the most expensive defender in the world for a while, that was a moniker United put on him that he wasn't worthy of, you know.
No.
And he had a good first season. I think he was good for a little while under Solskjaer. And obviously it wasn't in Ten Hag's plans, got the offer to go to West Ham, rejected it, or couldn't find an agreement with United. And the way he has reacted has been really admirable. A lot of players could learn from him. But this isn't a day, I don't think. I know that United were bad for a large period of the game, the 90 minutes. This isn't really a day to dig into players. Let's talk about good things. Yeah. Harry Maguire, good. Let's do Cobbie briefly, just because there's a video circling of him dribbling past three Liverpool players.
We'll remember it for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean,
the moment.
What a prospect this kid is, honestly.
He's just like, I try my best not to repeat things that we've constantly said or we've said several times or whatnot in the past, because obviously there's lots of probably new people watching the show here today after that game. I've picked the game up picked the show up on social media and on YouTube. But you see in real time what this boy's got, and that he slows the game down in his head. He never looks rushed. And when he gets the ball, sometimes, Scott, I'm thinking to myself, move it on, quick, be quicker with it, move it. And he holds it, and he just wanders into the space, and then he moves it, and you think, actually, he knows what he's doing. I don't need to think for him. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to. But I think that half the time about his other midfield partners, and that's part of the problem, is that you look at the senior players, and half the time you're saying, all right, don't do that. Stop doing that. Please don't do that. We copy. It's the opposite. It's like, yeah, do more of that. That's really good. And I just think as well, you know, he's a local lad from Stockport. He's got it all in front of him. He is the guy you build the midfield round. You're lucky you've already got that first midfield piece, Scott. Like, forget when we talk about Rashi or Bruno. And as you said, we don't want to be negative today, but you have got some of these pieces already. And there's no doubt for me that Cobbie is one of them. Cobbie is the guy that you build this midfield round for a decade. And that's a great start. You know, you're lucky that you've actually got him. Oh, you got some pictures up here, Scott.
Yeah, I just thought I'd share a picture for the benefit of the YouTube audience. This is a picture from Cobbie Mainoo's social media accounts.
Look at that.
Picture. If you're listening on audio later, sorry, but this is probably the picture that you've already seen. Cobbie Mainoo, Ahmad, Willie Campbell, and Garnacho. What's that?
Bless them, our kids.
Yes, with a Man of the Match award for Ahmad and the lads at the bottom holding up Ahmad's shirt. That is that's lovely. And we're talking about,
Ahmad's got same threads as me on there.
Yes, indeed.
Stone Roses.
Yes, indeed. And we're talking about, like, having, you know, something to believe in, players who, young players who, you know, really want it, want to prove themselves. And that's a nice little picture, isn't it?
Really nice. And it shows their feeling, it's got, like, again, I don't you know, we know there's divides in the United squad, and we've talked about them a lot. And everyone's got their own agendas at the end of the day. But I think that core of young players do feel it in terms of being like a little clique. You know, there's kind of like 5, 6, 7 of them who've come through at this kind of same time in the kind of 2-year gap. And they're all like, we're hungry. We want to play. We want to show that we can hang at the Premier League level. We've done shows, haven't we, about Ahmad? And like we've said, you know, Ahmad, I remember you said, didn't you, like, you know, is he good enough? Well, not, today doesn't prove he's good enough. But what it does prove is that he is a footballer. It proves that if you've someone else you doubt who plays in this position, maybe we should rotate that and give it a go just to see, just to have a look. And today, you know, you've got to try and do something so Ahmad comes on the pitch. But I think he earned that today. That 30 minutes, that 40 minute spell that he played in, he did work and he pushed and he believed that he could go and be the match winner in that moment, Scott. I think there's a few of them out there that don't believe that. Don't believe in United in that way. They don't believe they can go and be the match winner and they can't carry it on their shoulders. But I do think the young players are the opposite. I think they think that they could be a cornerstone into kind of the future history of Manchester United. And all power to it. I want more of it. I want more of the young players. I'd rather lose with young players than constantly every week we're talking about inflated 30-year-olds, 28-year-olds who do the same rubbish every week and have the same problems.
So my phone's buzzing. We got Jurgen Klopp's losing his mind, apparently.
Oh, is he?
We'll get
people in the comments,
in
tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I can't watch the video, but
you can watch it. Go live. You can watch it if you want, and we can hear it in the background. This is all live. This is real life.
let's see.
What's Jurgen Klopp saying? I bet Jurgen Klopp is saying,
"Oh." So
put it up to your mic, Scott.
It is.
A bit of a dumb question, I have to say, because when you see us that often, you never saw us, and you can ask, how can they have more resources? We played, I don't know how many games recently. I don't know how many games United exactly played. That's sport. Yeah. Really disappointed about that question, but you thought, obviously, it's good.
So too many games, so...
I don't think that. Oh, come on. We're obviously not in a great shape, and I have no nerves for you.
Wow.
Well, look, Jurgen.
Anyway, I'm not sure if we're allowed to do that, but
I don't know. Did we break any copyright rules? I'm not quite sure there. It doesn't really matter, does it? I don't think anyone cares about that. I think Jurgen, you know, you've always got the next FA Cup match. So just look forward to that. That's it. That's all I'll say to you.
Okay.
Oh, he's hasn't got any, has he? That's why he's upset. Oh no. Poor Jurgen. I feel sorry for him. Look, his team today, let's be honest, I've watched Liverpool every game this season pretty much for work and kind of looked at the numbers. They were a bit off today for their standard. And
they did play Thursday night, like, to be fair. Like,
they played Thursday night. I knew that was going to be a thing. I thought if United won this game, people were going to say, oh, they played Thursday night. And it's true. They did play Thursday night. So what? Like, you still got to find a way at the end of the day. And I think Liverpool could have found a way today if they had kind of manage their own faculties a little bit more. So that's on Klopp. You know, again, that's when Liverpool do well, we laud people like Klopp and Guardiola, don't we? Well, when your team doesn't do so well, you're also going to carry some of that. And I think today, Liverpool didn't manage the game very well, especially from the moment United brought the game back to 2-2. I think they were the team looking almost a bit like they wanted penalties for a bit. You know, and United were the team going, right, we're at home. We're going to go with the crowd and try and win the football match.
I tell you what, Elite Baller in the comments has been doing my job for me, telling people to subscribe if they haven't already. Really appreciate that. Make sure to hit the like button and support the channel, Elite Baller says. Thank you very much for doing that for us. We have also a tweet, a message from Andy Moore. Cobby, Harry, Scott and Diogo played well for the shirt. Garnacho as well. You know, Diogo Dalo as well. I thought he was quite good today.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka, we need
Aaron
to do
Wan-Bissaka. We did say play him at left back. We'll wrap up soon, Rob. I think I'm out of energy. But
we did say play him at left back, and he did play at left back. And I think overall he did a really good job on Salah, like really, really good job on the channel. Salah is obviously involved in the goal later on, the second goal, but I still think that Wan-Bissaka coming back, you've got to remember he's not played any games at all. His fitness levels must be on the floor still. He came in, he did a job, and I even thought he inverted really well, Scott. He got the ball when he was coming infield with it. I think he could play at left back. I really do. I think, like, especially now we think about what is going on with Luke Shaw and how long you've got Luke Shaw out of the team. Like, you might be back soon. Did you say there as well about Martinez coming back?
Yeah, I think he's due back for the Brentford game.
Yeah, so like you've got Martinez coming back. So you then suddenly get a little bit more assurance there. Like, I do think that Lindelof is still a problem. He was a problem today. I saw two or three times where people run at him and he just almost looks like he's going to fall over or whatever. And you're a bit like, oh, that must be hard for his teammates to watch. But yeah, I like Wan-Bissaka playing in those positions. And I think Wan-Bissaka and Dalot is a better balance. I think they balance quite well. You know, both right backs essentially, but they can both play left back. And I do think they Saka can take on a Salah and kind of look after the space quite well. I thought he did, I think he did the job really well today. I was really pleased with his performance.
Right, Rob, we'll have to wrap it up soon, I think, because
Scott's tired.
I'm tired. I've got to go and eat. It's nearly 8 o'clock, 20 to 8. As we record this, got to upload the podcast as well to the audio channels, which you can find on Apple and Spotify. You can subscribe to this channel as well on YouTube, the Promised Land of Man United podcast. Like the video, please subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a comment, hit the notification bell so you haven't missed a show as well, and follow us on the socials at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC on X as well. But Rob, last section. Sum it up.
You'll remember where you were when people say 2 years to come, Man United 4, Liverpool 3. You'll remember where you were, because that's what these moments are. They stick with you for life and you go, oh, wow, I was doing this, that, or the other. And it just, it stays here and you'll tell the story 1,000 times to people in the future about that moment when Ahmad scored that goal. Can you imagine, Scott, if Ahmad has a proper career at Man United now, you know, this will be the day people believe it will have started. This is his first moment. What did someone say to me the other day? Ahmad's done nothing in a United shirt. Well, guess what? He has now.
He has indeed. He has indeed. Man United have beaten Liverpool 4-3 in the FA Cup in one of an... It was an all-time classic. I think that one you will remember for a long, long time. United pulling it out of the bag when you didn't really think that they would. They managed to progress. They played Coventry in the FA Cup semi-final. Man City played Chelsea in the other game. Wouldn't it be nice if it was a Man United versus Chelsea FA Cup final? Two massive spending, flopping teams competing for one of the most famous prizes in football.
£2 billion squads versus each other. And hopefully Cole Palmer not going against a team that he loves, Man United. I don't know. I there's a little bit of sadistic side in me. I quite like to play City. Just go and play City and take it away from them at Wembley. Like there's that little bit of me, but I'm not, you know, realistically, that's not something I should be thinking about. But it was the same as today. Like there was something about before the game, I tweeted as well. I was like, I'd really like us to kind of say to Jurgen Klopp, it was your last FA Cup game. Sorry, mate. It's your last one, we beat you. But to beat them like that.
He's in a bit of a mood now.
Jurgen. He's going to be in a bit of a mood, isn't he? And let's, you know, if their season collapses for whatever reason now, people might look at this game and say, oh, that was the game where it kind of, the heart fell out of their challenge. I don't believe that. I still think they're good enough. And I think you saw today with Liverpool is that they are a little bit fallible, Scott. There is bits in their game that they're not the perfect.
I've been saying that all season.
Yeah, I've been saying that. And they're not at City's level, and I don't think they're at Arsenal's level either. I think those two teams are above Liverpool, but Liverpool have done really well to station themselves kind of somewhere at the top of the conversation, and their running looks good. So you think, oh, they might do it. But do you know what for Liverpool is really important, Scott, is that they keep Salah fit and that he scores lots of goals. Then you've got a really good chance of winning the title and winning trophies and going forward. But so today,
with
Salah,
respect, Rob, nobody cares about Liverpool.
No one cares about them. But if you keep Salah quiet, like I think we kept him relatively quiet today, that maybe is the difference.
Still scored, but you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't. That was a horrible goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Let's do final question. Elite Baller says, question for the panel: what did you do when Ahmad scored that goal?
What did I do?
I let out an almighty scream and I kind of like got up and ran around the sofa.
I don't remember. actually celebrating the other three goals, right? The first goal went in and I was like, oh, here we go again. It's like Marcus scoring against City. 1-0 up early in the game. And I was like, I don't want to be 1-0 up at 10 minutes. That's not, it's going to hurt us. And it was 2-1. And I was thinking, oh, we're probably going to lose. And then when you think, when Antony scored, I was just a bit dumbfounded. I was a bit like, oh my God, he scored. And that means extra time. How have we got here? Because it really felt like I was going to do this show and have to go through a load of rubbish about why the team was bad. But the goal, the winning goal, just lost my mind. Because that's what you do. You get up in the air and you're screaming and, you know, hugging my sons. And like, it's like tears and you're like, ah, and that is the moment. And that is why we do this, you know, because there's always those special moments that you remember. And I know my boys, you know, my kids will remember this for forevermore. It is. That's what football is. That's why football is special. That's why sport is special. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. We support these teams through hell and high water. So, yeah, what were you lot doing? Tell us on Twitter when we obviously finished the show. Tell us how you celebrated and how you felt in those moments, because it's a special day. You're allowed to celebrate it.
Yeah, that's it from us, guys. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And follow us on the socials one more time, at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC on X. Right, we'll be back soon. I'm going to go eat and get my breath back. And,
I might watch a game again, Scott.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to seek out every single highlight I can possibly find.
I might do all 2 hours. Let's do it, you know, do it all 2 hours straight. No, I don't know. Like, we know what happens now, don't we? Yeah, it's a good ending.
Right. Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Thanks for joining us. Please leave a comment below and we'll see you soon for another Promised Land podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.